Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from an absolutely beautiful Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for June 19th, 2012, episode 427. Good morning, Horse World.
Good Tuesday morning to you, and I do mean a good Tuesday morning.
Well, if you insist on being accurate about it.
You know, only somebody with perfect comedic timing could produce this much energy in one shot.
Your time in the saddle ain't as rough as the life in between, and the fence isn't there for you to straddle, and you can't change horses in the middle of your dream.
Wow, what a busy day we have planned for everybody. Thank you for joining us, and thanks for listening in here to Horses in the Morning. Well, we got some racing on tap today, and it's not in the United States this time.
And when exactly do we ever go live to a race that is not in the United States? Well, I'll tell you when. It is when Frankel is running for his 11th straight victory in a small race called the Royal Ascot.
We're going to be talking a lot about that in just a minute. You're going to learn more about the Royal Ascot. And one of the, how do they say it in England, that not controversy, they say controversy? How do you say that?
I don't know how they say it. I could use my awesome accent and read everything in that accent if you want.
Well, how about we just, she has a natural awesome accent a little later on, because there's a little controversy over there. At the Royal Ascot this year, and it has nothing to do with the horses. So we'll talk about that too. Jennifer, what's coming up today?
On today's Too Hot in Phoenix Tuesday edition, the cool, soothing voice of Victoria Spicer is here with her regular shot of sensational stories from across the pond. And following the usual musical respite, Mandy Widrick stops by with some equestrian take-home tech. And in honor of whoever coined that phrase, it's 5 o'clock somewhere. Happy Dry Martini Day.
Thank you, Jennifer. They're not my favorite dry martinis. Do you like dry martinis, Jamie? Not my favorite.
Is that the one with olives in it?
Yeah, that's the one that like has nothing, but you know, it's pretty much just alcohol.
Oh, I like that.
I bet you Mary Bengal likes dry martinis, too, especially on her birthday. Happy birthday to Mary. She's a listener of ours from the West Coast, and I know she's probably hearing this. So this is for you. And now it's Jamie's turn.
You know, at the end of yesterday's show, you said that you were going to do a review of the movie Snow White and the Huntsman. And I specifically remember asking you, will I be scared? Because I was thinking about going to see it alone since Chad is currently deployed right now. And you said, oh, it's not scary. It's not scary at all. Well, my Daily Winnie goes out to Lisa Lemke because of her very brutally honest comment that she wrote on Facebook regarding this movie. It says, Jamie, beware. I saw it this weekend after being reassured by two of my teammates that it was not scary. I wasn't sure they understood my tolerance level, so I said, seriously, would someone who is literally afraid of everything be scared? She's like, for example, me. They replied, no, not at all. It's a fairy tale. Lesson to me, do not trust anyone else's judgment of what may be scary except maybe my husband. It was terrifying. I had to close my eyes for a third of the movie. That said, some of the parts were watchable, and especially the happy, peaceful moments, and the Huntsman is nice eye candy. So, Lisa, thank you for your honesty, because I'm just like you. I close my eyes all the time. Sometimes I leave the theater and just walk out and, like, just get back to reality, because I get really scared in movies, and I'm scared. I'm basically scared of everything. So I just wanted to say, Lisa, you get my daily Winnie for your honesty.
Okay, and Lisa, you get this from me. Because now, think about it. Think about the stories we would have heard today of Jamie closing her eyes, hiding underneath the seat with all the gooey popcorn. It would have been fantastic. It would have been good for at least 15 minutes of Jamie rant. And now I have to work harder because she was brutally honest.
So you were lying to me yesterday?
No, it's not that bad. I don't know what Lisa's talking about. It's a terrific movie. If she was scared at this, she doesn't see any scary movies. Because Jennifer and I do not like scary movies. She doesn't see scary movies if she was scared at this.
No. But let me just point out to you that, have you ever seen that movie Shaun of the Dead?
No, see, we don't even see movies like that.
No. It's like it's a spoof on movies that are supposed to be scary, and it's a zombie movie, but it's a spoof on zombies. Like, everything's turning into zombies, and these dumb Brits don't even realize that everybody's zombies around them. And then they try to there's a zombie coming after them. They start throwing records at them, and it's supposed to be hilarious. I had to turn it off. And Chad is like, what is wrong with you? He's like, this is a funny movie. This is funny. And I was like, this is not funny. Those are zombies, and that could happen. And it's really scary to me. And I don't like looking at zombies. I don't like looking at scary things. And I just, I can't watch anything scary. It's not even funny.
Damn, that was so set up, too. We would have had a great segment today. Now you have to listen to me do the review. By the way, there's another thing I disagree with Lisa on. And we'll talk about it a little bit later. But Lisa.
Eye candy?
No, that was probably true. Although he can't act his way out of a wet paper bag. Terrible. But that said, the parts I watched were enjoyable, especially the few happy, peaceful moments. When we left the theater, Jennifer and I and Wayne and Pam looked at each other and said, this could have been 20 minutes shorter. If they'd cut out that crappy, peaceful moments, it would have been such a good movie.
The part the chicks like is the part the dudes hate, of course. That does not surprise me one bit. Well, we'll get to your review a little bit later.
First. Let's do a couple housekeeping things, and then we got to talk about Frankel. We need to mention the chat room is open. You can find it by going to Blog Talk Radio, just clicking on Horses in the Morning, and it's on that page. Just scroll down a little bit. And I have also posted it on our Facebook page right at the top there. So you can find a link to it there. So feel free to join in the chat room and chat with other listeners. Really Bad Ads this week has a terrific prize, the one everybody wants, the one Aubrey won last time. She came on our show and talked about it. And that's the Flex and Fork Manure Fork. That's right, the Equity Manufacturing Flex and Fork Manure Fork will be the prize this week for Really Bad Ads. So make sure to get your ads in, get a couple of them in, send them to Jennifer@HorseRadioNetwork.com. You got three or four days here, so you have plenty of time to get on Craigslist and do some looking. Let's have a good week and Really Bad Ads, and you could win a Flex and Fork. Definitely worth it. You can find more about them at equitymfg.com. Well, Frankel is running at 9:35 our time. It's the first race of the Royal Ascot, and it is it's going to be broadcast on HRTV. So if you get HRTV, we'll let you go away for 2 minutes to watch it. But it's coming up. We're also going to – I'll have HRTV on here, so we'll be able to tell you what happens. But that's coming up, and we're looking forward to that very shortly. I have a little preview here. You want to hear that? This is from HRTV, and it's a little bit of a preview about the Royal Ascot and how exciting it is. So let's take a listen to that.
Now that America's most important horse race, the Kentucky Derby, is behind us, it's time for us to focus on Britain's most iconic sporting event of the horse racing variety, Royal Ascot, a blend of world-class racing and high society with an elevated level of pageantry this year due to the Queen celebrating her Diamond Jubilee. Women are in their element as dress code calls for the grandest finery, while the gents are required to be suited in tops and tails. The afternoon begins with a traditional lawn picnic consisting of strawberries and cream, a quintessential British summertime favorite, soothed down with a flute of champagne, or two, or three. Last year alone, 170,000 bottles of champagne were consumed during Royal Ascot. It isn't surprising this royal venue is the envy of the world during these 5 days. Then, simply stand back and enjoy the spectacle of thoroughbred racing. As far as the standard of racing goes, I need only mention two names scheduled to participate at the meet in order to paint the picture, Frankel and Black Caviar. Frankel, the highest-rated horse on the planet, will race in the Queen Anne Stakes, carded as the first race on day one of the meeting. His trainer, Henry Cecil, a.k.a. the man with the Midas touch, predicts Frankel could be 3 or 4 lengths improved from his return race in the Lockinge Stakes at Newbury 4 weeks ago. Frankel owns 10 wins in as many starts. Black Caviar, the greatest sprinter in the world, owns more than twice the victories of Frankel. Having won all 21 races that she has contested, the mare boasts a new modern-day international record for the top level of flat racing. Her appearance in the Diamond Jubilee Stakes on closing Saturday is a fitting finale for a remarkable week of racing. So join Jeff Siegel and myself as we revisit the day's events on our Royal Ascot update, brought to you by ExpressBet, your way to play Royal Ascot. We'll be showing it nightly on HRTV beginning Tuesday, June 19th through Saturday, June 23rd.
Now, I want to know, Glenn, because you plan on kind of almost broadcasting this live from HRTV on our radio show. I want to know if you're going to do your best Larry Kalmus impression by calling the race, much like he did for the Kentucky Derby this year. I think it's going to be a test of your race calling skills. This could be the lead in to your next job. So use this as your job application to take over calling the Kentucky Derby. Can you do that for me?
I love your confidence and enthusiasm. That is absolutely terrific. Yes, and we can't broadcast it live because I don't want to get sued. So I'll do my best.
Here. Okay.
I don't think HRTV's
going to sue us. They're friends of ours.
Yeah, I'm not too sure their lawyers are friends of ours.
Always worried about getting sued. Just forget it. Let it go. Let's play some Beyonce. Come on.
So that's coming up very shortly. We should be hearing also from Victoria Spicer. She's coming on a little early today and going to join us here because there's so much going on over in Europe right now. We'll be getting to that very shortly. There was something I wanted to talk to you about.
We wanted give a little history on Frankel because don't know, he's actually an American horse. Frankel actually was born in Great Britain, but he is a thoroughbred racehorse bred by Judmont Farms. And Judmont is a huge place in Lexington. Now, they do have satellite farms everywhere because they're that big. But it was trained by Sir Henry Cecil and owned by Prince Khalid Abdullah. And he was named after the late American trainer Bobby Frankel. So he's got a lot of American ties, and he is currently 10-0, and he's going for 11. So this is a horse that really the whole world has kind of gotten behind, and especially over in Great Britain, obviously. He's kind of Frankel is to England what Black Caviar is to Australia and Zenyatta was to America. Just that's how big this horse is, and that's kind of how big this race is. Now, I've got other racing news for you, Glenn. Do you remember a horse named Hansen?
Yep.
Yeah, we haven't really heard from Hansen in quite a while, and if you recall, the last race he ran in was the Kentucky Derby, and he just kind of dropped off the planet after the Kentucky Derby, didn't run in the Preakness, didn't run in the Belmont, and Dr. Kendall Hansen, who is the majority owner of the horse, said that his next race is going to be, hopefully, that they're planning on, is the $1 million Travers Stakes on August 25th. Now, Shackelford won that last year, and this is a huge, huge race for three-year-olds. And I guess, remember the whole, blue tail gate that went on
yes.
where the
yes.
Hanson,
over at
Kendall Hanson.
Over at Keeneland, yeah.
Over at Keeneland for the Bluegrass Stakes, which he came in second place. He had actually dyed the horse's tail blue, and then the race steward's like, you can't do that. You have to change it back. And so they had to change it back. And then I guess, you know, Dr. Kendall Hanson is quite a fan of being in the limelight, if you will. And so his quote is this. He's they call him flamboyant and innovative. And he says that he has kept a low profile recently, is going to let Hanson do most of the talking the rest of the year. And he says, I have removed myself from the limelight long enough, and now that the spring classics are over, it was such a privilege that Hanson got the two-year-old champion's attention all winter and spring. There's been a lot of press over the past 6 months. I have no idea how many interviews I did. That's because you were standing there like Seabiscuit's owner, Charles Howard, like, everybody, please come talk to me. Have a horseshoe. So there's been a lot of press over the 6 months. I noticed at the end a few haters were coming out, but that was understandable. Heck, I would have got a bit tired of me as well. So I took a break from it all. I'll try to keep myself in small doses, and Hanson is the horse as available as possible to basically all the people that want him. So I love the fact that he's like, yeah, I'm kind of sick of me too. Because I was sick of him.
So what kind of crap did he get? He must have gotten crap from somebody. I mean,
oh, everybody. And then, I'm sure his trainer is like, seriously, dude, did you just dye the horse's tail blue? And then instead of focusing on the race and getting him ready, he's getting his blue tail washed out and trying to get it white again. Do you know how hard that would be to dye a white tail and then blue and then get the blue out? Can you imagine how much scrubbing they had to do? Do you think
about
that? I
know, it's hard enough to keep clean in the first place.
Yeah, and then you've got, remember, well, what's that shampoo? Jennifer, maybe you'll know, that shampoo that is blue, that, I think she's on the phone, you know, blue. What's a blue shampoo?
I can't remember. I know what you mean. Yes, I do know what you mean.
Yeah.
It'll come to me. Yes, we sell
so
a lot of it.
Yeah, make white horses white. Well, every time I used it on a stupid white leg or something, the white leg would end up blue because I couldn't get it all rinsed out. So that was hard enough, just washing soap out. Jennifer, do you remember the name of that blue shampoo? She's still not here. Somebody will tell me.
Thank you. Now, I have to tell you that white horses and gray horses are a horse husband's nightmare. We strongly encourage our horse wives not to get a gray. That's just, you know, if you expect us to help out in the grooming department, do not buy a gray horse. Just saying.
Yeah, I find that when Chad goes to ride with me, he doesn't even want to groom the horse, period. So, and he's a bay that he rides. So, you know, I can't imagine him actually helping, like, prepare a horse for a show or something like that. It would be a mess. But we've actually now going to go over live to England, where we've got Victoria Spicer from Horse and Country TV. And, Glenn, I hear that you have a new sounder for her.
Yes, I have bumper music for you, Victoria.
Here comes the queen.
There you go, Victoria. Bumper music.
That's very regal.
Yes, seriously. Like, make way, make way. Here comes the queen. Bow down. It's Victoria Spicer. Please. That's very fancy, Glenn.
Yeah. Well, Victoria's
very
fancy.
Disappoint. Yeah, yeah. She better not disappoint today. Jeez. Kind of highfalutin right there. So how are you, darling? Good to talk to you. Thanks for joining us. I know you're busy this morning. You're kind of in a time crunch. That's why you're joining us a little bit early. But it's perfect because Frankel's race goes off in about 10, 12 more minutes. So I think how many minutes to post? About 12?
11 minutes to go. So they're in the paddock at the moment. I'm watching on TV because I can't be there. I'm very sad that I'm not there. But unfortunately, it's Hickstead starts tomorrow, so I'm going to be down in West Sussex instead of at Ascot, and I've not made it today because there is a press conference for the British eventing team, so there's a conspiracy to stop me getting to see Frankel, which is a bit of a shame.
Now, you talk about Hickstead. Tell everybody, you know, we've all seen the pictures, and maybe you have, maybe you haven't, of the horses at Hickstead jumping down this monstrous hill. Tell us what Hickstead is to you guys and how important it is and how celebrated it is.
Now, you're asking the right person because I'm the press officer for Hickstead, so I'll working there. I'm taking my horse and country hat off for a week and putting on my Hickstead hat instead. And so I've worked there for, this is my second season, and it's just an incredible place. And the feeling you get when you drive in there, you just feel like you're at the home of show jumping in Britain. And it's this beautiful, huge, big estate with a huge, big international arena. And I think Hickstead is best known for hosting the Derby when we have our 10'6" Derby bank. And not many horses are brave enough to go down it, but those that are, it's just the most thrilling spectacle ever.
Now, how high is this hill that these horses are jumping down?
It's 10'6". So,
holy God.
And most of them will stand at the top and then they'll just very gently start to walk down it and then jump from about halfway off. What you don't want is them jumping off from from the top, which has happened in the past, and it's quite scary.
I would say quite scary and quite dangerous. We're going to post a picture of it. I'm going to ask Jen if she can find a picture of it and put it on our Facebook page, because now this is not on every course in the entire Hickstead week, but it is in the main. What classes use this hill?
Only the Carpet Right Derby do they come down the front of the hill. There's two other classes that it gets used, but they go across from side to side, which isn't as steep, and it's a bit easier. And that's the Speed Derby on Saturday, and the Event and Grand Prix, which is in our July show, so the Royal International. That's the next time that they use it, and that's when the event riders have to go over it as well. But to them, it's probably quite easy. It's just the show jumpers who probably don't face something like that very often.
I don't think, excuse me for saying this, but I don't think anybody thinks that thing is easy. <I'm> sorry.
Possibly
Avengers
not.
Or not. Yeah, that's probably the one they walk up to during the course walk, and they're like, oh, God. Oh, God. You know, hey, coach, how do I ride this? I don't know. Don't die.
Somebody once said that looking down it was like sitting on top of a double-decker bus and looking down the front, because not only are you 10'6" high from the bank, you're also, you know, 5 or 6 foot up on a horse. So it really is quite steep and quite daunting.
I appreciate you talking in feet so I don't have to get out my converter that's an app on my iPhone, by the way. I appreciate it.
I'm just showing my age. I grew up in feet and inches, and I haven't quite coped with the transition to meters yet. So I'm still using the old fashioned style.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned eventers. Now, you guys had Lemulin. It's a little closer to y'all than it is us. Tell us about who won.
Well, Michael Young won, and not only did he win the 4-star, he also won the 3-star. So I think he's just kind of saying, just watch out, Greenwich, because here I'm coming. And he must be starting favourite for the Olympics, because he is incredible and he's a real talent. So one to watch, but I hope the British riders can rise to the challenge.
Yeah, Michael Young's obviously. Go ahead, Glenn. Sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, and of course, we remember him winning the World Equestrian Games over here in Lexington. So he's got a history here.
He does, yes. He's very talented.
Well, so maybe you can answer this question. And this is kind of a stupid question, but Glenn and I have batted it back and forth about 100 times with William Fox Pitt. We have, you know, Boyd Martin has several horses, and Philip Dutton has several horses that are all qualified. And if you don't know this answer, just whatever, you just tell me that. But can a person ride more than one horse in the Olympics? Like, can your entire team be made up out of William Fox Pitt?
I think if it was, we'd probably win. But I think you can have several horses nominated. So we've given the 15 names of riders in each discipline that basically their names get put through to this Olympic committee, but only, you know, 3, 4, or 5 get selected for the team. And so multiple horses can be nominated at that stage, but they have to choose which one they get to ride, and they don't get to have two chances. Because it wouldn't really be fair if you'd ridden around the course once to then have that advantage again. So I think that's why.
Oh, you make a good point. I never thought about that. I just was wondering if they can have one on the team and then one in the individual, or if William Fox Pitt can, he's like 9 horses qualified, so he could actually make up the entire team and then go do the individual and then put him in the show jumping and dressage teams too. Why not?
Exactly. He'd probably do all right.
Yeah, I think he would. So tell us what else is happening over there. I know you guys have been very busy covering all sorts of things with the Queen's Diamond Jubilee going on. Anything else we need to know about before we watch the race?
Well, obviously, stay tuned to the website this week, because Jenny will be doing every bit of coverage from Hickstead. There'll be lots of videos and reports, and so you can get some of the backstage gossip and find out exactly what it's like to ride down the Derby Bank from our website. This week's TV show that you should all try and watch if you can is Bramham Horse Trials, which will be on tonight in the UK and Ireland, and we'll let you know if it's going to be online in the future. And if you're having a browse on our website, do head to our video page, because we've got lots of new stuff on there, including full-length programs of Carl and Charlotte, Dressage Superstars, which is our recent documentary. And we've also got quite a fun video with Piggy. We ask her some very silly questions, and she she answers them all in good humor.
Give us an example of a silly question for Piggy French.
What do you think of Marmite?
That's your food, right?
Marmite is something that divides the nation. People either love it or detest it. So, yes, we've been asking
the
riders.
I don't even know what it is.
It's like a spread that you put on your toast, and it's made of a yeast extract, and I think it's the most disgusting thing in the world. I'm sorry, Marmite, if you're listening, but it's vile. But
there they go,
really
the sponsor.
Well, there you go. Yeah, sorry. You don't want to have Marmite as your sponsors, because some of your listeners, you know, it will divide your listeners. So
that wouldn't be the first time we've done that. Hey, I have one question for you. A Royal Ascot this year, how do you say controversy?
Yes, controversy, yes. Do you mean about the fashion stakes?
Yes, they're having fashion police.
They are. They're handing out pashminas and hats at the gate. Royal Ascot, despite everything, possibly isn't the most sophisticated race meeting in the calendar, because a lot of people go that are there for the social side and don't care about the horses, and it gets more and more outlandish. And I think this year they said, you know, this is meant to be a very high class, respectable race meeting, and let's tighten things up a bit. But I think they've had quite a few murmurings in the press about the fashion police, so we'll have to see how it goes.
Yeah, fashionators with big ice cream cones on your head are out.
Yeah.
Not allowed to wear those anymore.
No.
So hold up. These women show up in their gowns and their high heels and their matching, it's like the equivalent of derby hats here, but you guys have those crazy clip-on fascinator things. And then they go up to the gate to enter in the turnstile, and all of a sudden they're like, no, you can't take that hat in. Here, have this hat.
Have a free hat.
What is it going to look like? Like a Royal Ascot Frankel ball cap with these dresses? How does that work?
I haven't seen pictures of them yet, but it's maybe quite a good idea if you want a free hat. Just wear something unsuitable and you can come in a free hat, unless you have to hand them back at the gate. I'm not sure which. But it's better than what happened last year, which was they decided to do a trial run off what was respectable to come to Ascot in. And this wasn't the royal meeting, this was a jumps meeting. And anyone who didn't have a tie or who was wearing an inappropriate dress got given an orange sticker to mark them out as inappropriate. So
Scarlet letter. They were scarlet lettered.
They were indeed. You should look up orange stickers in Ascot on the internet, and you will see a whole load of stories about it. It was very very funny at the time. I don't think the Ascot organizers would agree with that.
Oh, my gosh. That would be like a badge of honor. Sorry, my dress is too short and my booty's showing and look at my shirt.
Exactly.
That would take a challenge. That would I would be challenged to wear something inappropriate just to get an orange sticker.
Yep, definitely.
Well, I think the race is about to start, so we'll let you go.
Yes, Franco is cantering very sedately down to post right now. So hopefully he'll romp home, because I'd be very upset if he was ever beaten. And the same for Black Caviar. Absolutely love that mare, so hoping she does the business on Saturday. But in this race, can everybody cheer on Strong Suit? Because I love him, and he is by the same stallion as my horse, Tricky, so I'm a big supporter of him. He's by Rahi, who I think we talked about last year, who sadly died last year. But he's a great sire, and we're hoping Strong Suit can finish a close second to Franco. That would be nice.
And hey, Rahi lives at Three Chimneys, too, so he's a Lexington boy, too.
Exactly, so cheer him on.
Real quick, what number is Franco today? Because I don't have the sound on, so I don't know. Is it three?
I think he's number three. Yes,
okay,
because it's very hard to tell because his full brother or his half brother, I can't remember which, but Bullet Train is his pacemaker, and they look very, very similar, and their jockeys have almost the same colours on. So I think it's three, but it could be Bullet Train. So I won't guarantee that. It is. It is very sneaky, but it is. It's quite funny to watch them together. They are definitely two peas in the pod, but Franco's just that little bit stronger and bigger and quite a lot faster.
It's like having a blocker in football out in front of the running back. He's got his own blocker.
Exactly. I don't really love the idea of pacemakers, but they're quite common over here. So yeah.
You don't hear about that a lot here, do we, Jenny? We don't hear that a lot here.
Yeah, I've kind of heard about it, but usually it's they have a pacemaker to try to beat somebody else, not to help somebody else. So one horse will go out and try to set the pace and make it super fast, so the champion horse can't keep up, and then they bring the stablemate of the pacemaker up to finish. So
yes.
It's usually used a little bit dirty here the other way, as opposed to actually a pacemaker to help the champion horse. So kind of interesting.
It is. There's a big debate about it, because basically if they're being allowed to run as fast as they can early on, and they're obviously not going to have the stamina to compete, continue at that pace, then it ends up they're not actually running to their merits. And so I'm sure that goes against the whole idea of racing and actually trying. But I think that's a whole other debate that could go on for hours and hours, and I'm probably not the best qualified to comment on it.
So here's the question, though, real quick before we let you go. Is Bullet Train at like a million to one because nobody bets on him because he sets the pace for Frankel?
I think he's about 150 to one. He has won. I think he has a group race, but he's always just put in there to help Frankel along. And it's a shame because I'm sure he'd be a reasonably good horse if he wasn't always put in group one races and basically let to go as fast as he can early on so that he has no hope of winning.
Oh,
maybe this will be the day. Maybe this will be Bullet Train's day. 151. Who knows?
Awesome. Well, thanks, Victoria. Thanks for joining us. And as always, it's a total pleasure to talk to you. And we will speak to you again next week. Go, Frankel.
My pleasure.
Go, Bullet Train.
Yay.
Bye, Victoria.
See you next week. Cheers. Bye.
All right. And then
she was
the rival.
Screen today.
I know. The chief rival for Frankel is a horse named Accelebration, and he's come in second to him on three out of four occasions that they've raced together. So that's another one to look for. And that's I think it's an Aidan O'Brien horse. So it's going to be a good race. Where are they now, Glenn?
Looks like they're going into the gates at this point, and it looks like Frankel is they've been following. I don't have the sound on, so I can't tell. But it looks like Frankel's number three because they've been following him the entire time. So it must be Frankel. That must be him. So they're about to put him into the gates. We're gonna pass on our commercial here. And next up is Mandy Widrick, our tech guru. But Mandy, I'm just gonna bring you into this conversation. We're gonna ask you to hold on for a couple seconds while we watch this very exciting race out of England. And I commentate. They're in the gates. Are you there, Mandy?
I am.
Okay, hold on here. It's very exciting, Frankel. They're in the gates.
I want a race call. Come on.
Well, you know, if we could accidentally hear the race call, that'd be terrible, wouldn't it?
Turn it up.
They're racing Premier Loco on the extreme right on the stand side in the orange jacket, but it's Bullet Train, Frankel's pacemaker.
There's Bullet Train.
The gallop, worth that on the far side in the noseband. Acceleration ridden quite forward by Joseph O'Brien in the purple cap helmet towards the near side with the white face. Then Frankel in the pink cap, worn by Tom Queeley. Further back is Side Glance, Red Jazz, Premier Loco. Windsor Palace is off the gallop, so too Strong Suit and Indomito. The pace increasing, and Bullet Train by a length and a half to Helmet, followed by Acceleration and Frankel, the old rivals racing in tandem. Worth that is back in fifth place then.
So we got Bullet Train in the lead. We got Frankel running fourth at the moment, and I'm commentating, and you're getting mad at me because I'm not getting sued. So
furlong marker,
oh,
and
there
Frankel
it is, yeah.
Lying a close-up fourth, following in his stable companion Slipstream. Bullet Train from Helmet on the right, on the left Acceleration. Queeley is just edging out now to the right and gets a clear view of the front, and he's ranging up to join Bullet Train. Worth that Side Glance, Red Jazz pushed along, Strong Suit, Premier Loco, and it's Frankel that gallops into the lead. Acceleration is again trying to go with him as they race inside the final quarter mile, and Queeley says go on the champ. It's Frankel that leads the way, and he opens up in tremendous style.
He's opening
four,
it up.
5 lengths clear of Acceleration. The
six
rest length, of well beaten.
Seven lengths.
And it's all the one for Frankel. It's going to be 11 from
oh
11
God.
Here. The champion of the world, Frankel in majestic form by 8 or 9 in the Queen Anne.
He was being generous. It was more like 10 or 20.
Yeah, I got goosebumps, baby. The champion of the world is running away with it, just like Secretariat did into Belmont Stakes to win the Triple Crown. It's like, I'm 11, I'm 12, I'm 30, 31 links. Oh, my God, that was awesome. That was awesome. We love HRTV. We love you guys. We love HRTV, HRTV, HRTV. See, there we go.
Get
now
a
they like
subscription at HRTV. We strongly encourage it.
Yes, definitely.
Well worth it. A couple bucks a month. It's definitely worth it. Well, Mandy Halley there. This is our tech guru. Mandy Widrick is on with us today. She's on with us once a month to get us caught up on what's new in the world of tech and internet and all that
Facebook
stuff.
Facebook sucks.
Sandy, I got to tell you, we're not having a lot of love for Facebook right now. They have
really?
It's not going well on Facebook, I'm afraid.
Now, why is that, Glenn?
Well, it's just, you know, since they made the changes, our interaction on every Facebook page, and I must administer 12, 15 of them, has gone down. People are just now starting to figure it out again, and we're starting to get more interaction. But, boy, they did put a hit on you know, pages like ours, on fan pages.
Yeah, a lot of people have noticed the same thing, where their engagement has kind of dipped since some changes have been made on Facebook, since everything's kind of been moved over to Timeline. I think part of it is that Facebook is really just encouraging page owners to tap into, you know, the advertising and use that as a means to reach their fans. But there's some tricks around it. I've actually been doing some experimenting over the last few weeks, and I've been finding ways of increasing the engagement on my page without having to use the paid advertising. And I have nothing against the advertising at all. In fact, I think it's a very useful resource, depending on how you use it, if you use it correctly. But there's still a lot of page owners out there who are complaining about Facebook, you know, introducing a promoted post that looks like they're assuming that they have to pay to get their status update seen. But that's really just to increase, you know, how many times the status updates are seen to their fans. But
you know what I think the biggest problem is not necessarily that we've noticed, especially with our Horses in the Morning show and a couple of the others. It is mm-hmm. that we have segregated all of our listener posts over to the side. And what I found with my usage is I don't go over and look at the listener posts, you know, on other people's fan pages. I do on ours. But I don't look at those listener posts or those follower posts on other people's fan pages as much as if they were in the stream like they used to be. I think that's been a big negative.
Yeah, that is. I'm not really sure why Facebook did that, to be honest. That's definitely something I wasn't a huge fan of, is how all of the wall posts have just kind of been slapped over in that one little sidebar. You have to, you know, drop it down to expand them and everything. I don't know. I don't really know what Facebook was thinking when it comes to terms of, you know, the Facebook post. But I can definitely see where that might be difficult for people to kind of interact on other pages because you have to go and, you know, click that see all button to see what the people are posting on the sidebar. It's definitely not as easy to see as it used to be. But, you know, Facebook makes changes all the time that we don't really care for. So, you know.
I must say, Mandy, I'm a little mad at you because when this whole timeline thing was surfacing, you were like, this is going to be great. I love it. This is awesome. And I have been holding that against you for this entire time. And I still have not converted my page of my personal homepage, and they haven't made me yet. Are they going to make me change it?
Well, I think so. But there's some people like you who still have gotten away with keeping the old profile. So I'm not sure, because they were supposed to convert everybody a while back, and most people did get converted. But there are a few people who Facebook haven't, you know, they haven't forced these people to switch over yet. So I can't really say. But I still kind of defend Timeline because I still like it. It's got a few things that I don't like about it.
Do you work for Facebook?
No, I try to make the most of every change that gets thrown at me. So this is me being positive.
Yeah, you're doing a good job there, Mandy. Hey, Amanda, you didn't call for us to beat you up about Facebook. You called about a couple other cool things. What's this YouTube video that's going around about the stables there in New York?
Well, I found this. I actually didn't find it, I guess. Someone on Twitter sent me a tweet one day and said, hey, there's some really cool history behind this TV studio in New York City. And normally I don't pay too much attention to the tweets that come in if they're not, like if there's somebody saying, hey, retweet this post, or somebody reaching out and trying to get me to promote for them. But this person wasn't getting me to promote. So I clicked the link. Checked it out, and it was just the coolest thing. And it hasn't, I think it's at like 700 plus views right now. So it's not like it's something that's a terribly popular video, but I just found it super cool that this ABC studio in New York City used to be one of the most prominent stables in the area. So I've got the link, and I'm going to post it on the Facebook wall. So if somebody wants to see it, they have to go over to the sidebar in the recent post and see where I put that. But I'm going to post that on your wall right now on the Horses in the Morning, just because I think it's super cool. It's actually where they film Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and I don't watch that show. I mean, I've seen clips of it here and there online. I don't watch a lot of TV, but I just found it very interesting. When you watch the video, they actually, like, show you what the stable used to look like with old pictures. And it was back in, like, 1901. It was called Durland's Riding Academy. And they even had, like, a fire, but they were still one of the, even despite the fire, they're still one of the most prominent stables in the area. And I think in that fire, I think they said that they lost, like, 9 horses, but they bounced back after the fire, and they were still doing really, really well. So that link is posted on your Facebook page now.
Okay, we'll repost that.
Yeah, they sold out in, I think it was 1949, to the American Broadcasting Company, and that's when they turned it into a TV studio. But it's just kind of the coolest thing to look back at those photos that they shared and the history of a TV studio where they're walking through and it's like, oh my goodness, those used to be stalls. And horses used to be riding in that main studio area where they now film this show, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. So just the coolest thing.
Speaking of stalls that have been converted, I don't know if, Jamie, if you've ever been, you must have been. Did you ever go to the Biltmore estate?
Nope. Nope.
The Biltmore is one of the coolest things. Jennifer actually did the horse ride around there with a friend of hers when we were there the one time, and it was just her and the friend and the guide, so they got to ride all over the place around the Biltmore. And of course, the Biltmore is one of the biggest houses in America, North Carolina there, and in the mountains in Asheville. And they have they converted the stables into a restaurant, so you actually eat in the stalls. It's really cool what they did with the restaurant there. And we were there on one, it was a very snowy, icy New Year's Eve, and we actually had dinner in the stalls at the Biltmore, and it was one of those moments that I'll never forget. So if you ever go to the Biltmore, you got to go to the restaurant and eat. It's really cool.
Wow, it just seems to do more for, like, the experience when there's a cool history behind a place like that.
Yeah. Now, you said there's a new group. Go ahead, Jamie, sorry.
I was going to ask Glenn, one of our listeners, has posted on our chat room that we now use as Blog Talk since we can't use Facebook. He has posted that there is a chat room. He wrote, you should look at Facebook groups that have a chat room on their timeline wall. Do you know anything about that, Mandy?
Facebook groups do have the ability to chat within the group if you have less than, I believe, 250 members. I'm not entirely sure. I would need to double check on that because my Facebook group that I was using it on grew over the number that I was allowed to have for the chat to be enabled. So the group chat, it means that everybody can kind of chat in one place. So all of the members of the group can all chat. It's a normal Facebook chat, but with multiple people. So it is really cool, but the only limitations with that is once you get a certain number of people in there, Facebook turns the group chat off. And I think that the reason behind that is just that, you know, if there's a ton of members, it would be very hard to follow the chat if there was a lot of people in there at the same time. So
we're way too popular, Glenn. Sorry.
Yeah, we can't do it.
Yeah, I don't think it'll work too well because once you hit over that, I'm pretty sure it's 250. But it's, like I said, it's been a while on the groups that I've used it on. So I'm long past the limit.
All right. Well, we won't use that one. Now you had on the list here a LinkedIn group, but I got to tell you, LinkedIn is one of those websites that I signed up for early on, but I got so much other things going on, I've just never used it.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those networks where we hear that a lot, where it's just kind of out there, people aren't exactly sure how to use it, but LinkedIn, as most people know, is kind of a network where a lot of professionals are trying to network with each other and meet each other. And it's definitely different from Facebook and from Twitter and those other social media networks out there just because it's more of a professional setting. But I've been experimenting with LinkedIn groups as of lately because I want to see, you know, how effective LinkedIn is for me and for meeting other people. So I don't use it anywhere near as much as I use Facebook or Twitter or Pinterest even, but I've been playing around with it and kind of networking with people in groups as of lately, and I have met just some really cool people. And there's this new group that I've started just kind of networking in called Horse Crazy. And I have a link for that, too, because there, I imagine with a name like that, there might be more than one LinkedIn group under that name. But I've got the link, so I'm going to post that on your wall, too. But that one, there's a really popular thread over there right now where they said to share your Facebook page if you have a Facebook page for your horse business. And so I have met a ton of people through that particular thread in this group. And I'm going to post it right here. I'm just throwing this on your wall right now. But there we go.
Maybe I'll have to look at LinkedIn
again. 229 Jamie Jennings on LinkedIn right now. And James Jennings, because most of them are men. So there is a guy named James Jennings, and he is a radio show host, and he has his own small show in the Sacramento area, and it's called Homegrown Soul Show. I'm going to listen to that. I want to hear what Homegrown Soul sounds like. I'm listening. I'm going to Google that guy.
LinkedIn is, I guess I'll have to pay more attention to LinkedIn. I have about 50 LinkedIn, you know, friend requests that I've just ignored. I get the emails and I haven't gone in there. I've been bad. So I apologize to everybody. It's not that I don't like you, it's just that I don't go into LinkedIn very often.
Honestly, Mandy, how business is it? Because to me, I feel like all of these things, even, you know, I think the less is Facebook because you can't really, you have to request people and they have to approve you. But how much is LinkedIn and end up being like a hookup dating site? Because it seems like MySpace became a big booty call. What about LinkedIn?
I personally haven't seen a lot of that on LinkedIn. I don't know if you've heard any stories, but I haven't seen too much of that on LinkedIn. I mean, I'm sure.
Have you got a date off LinkedIn? Have you got a date off LinkedIn?
No.
Okay. Only four.
No. Actually, the interesting thing with LinkedIn is that even though I've been networking a lot in the groups lately, I have friended most everybody that I've met on LinkedIn over on Facebook because I tell them that I feel like we can interact more over on Facebook. So I have them, I usually friend them over on Facebook after I start communicating with them on LinkedIn. And it's not that I can't keep communicating in the group and keep, you know, carrying on a conversation, but I feel like if I want to interact with them, like comment on their posts, see what they're posting, go over to their wall and write on their wall, say hello, and even send messages. You know, the messages I just feel are easier on Facebook than they are on LinkedIn. I don't know, that's just me, I guess, because I use Facebook all the time. But everybody that I've met in this Horse Crazy group, I've pretty much tried to friend over on Facebook because they're posting links to their Facebook fan pages over there anyways. And there's just been some really cool people that I've met as a result. So I've friended everybody over on Facebook. So maybe it doesn't seem like I'm really doing the best I can with LinkedIn. But, you know, okay. I want to be where the people are talking. And they seem to be interacting better over on Facebook.
One final question, and maybe this is a suggestion to you, actually. Friend them over on LinkedIn in a business sense, and then send them over to Facebook to be able to talk to them more. And when you're starting to want to kind of maneuver them to a booty call, you send them over to your MySpace page, and that's where you do all your the damage.
I don't even know if I still have a MySpace account. I think I may have deleted it. I don't know. If it's still exists, I'll have to go look. But
okay, girl.
Is it still as crazy as it always was over there? I'm looking. Oh, it's still there. Look at that. Guess who's on the cover of MySpace? Justin Bieber.
Mandy.
There you go. Justin Bieber's on the cover of MySpace. Well, Mandy, thank you so much for putting up with our...
Tell your boyfriend I'm sorry. Yeah, tell your boyfriend I'm sorry. I was just messing with you.
I know.
Mandy's been sick for like a month, and here we are. We're busting her chops this morning. We bring her on. We blame her for everything Facebook's ever done. And you're a good sport, Mandy.
Yeah, thanks, Mandy.
Get your website. Get out your website, Mandy.
My website at mandywoodrick.com, M-A-N-D-E-E, and they can find me on Facebook. If you just type my name into Facebook, you'll find like my fan page, my personal profile. People can friend me if they'd like. I do accept strangers' friend requests, so unless you're asking me for a date, I will accept your friend request. but yeah, they can find me on Facebook, Twitter, all those good sites.
Well, thank you, Mandy. Do appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, thanks, Glenn and Jamie.
MySpace me, girl, we'll talk.
I'm surprised. I was shocked it was still there. I thought it went away a long time ago. Somebody bought it. I forget who bought MySpace, but I didn't think it was still there. Look at you. Are you still on there? I bet you are. I bet you still updated, too.
I check it all the time. All the time. Hey, do you want to know what the Homegrown Soul show is? It's a unique program that utilizes the web, radio, and stage to showcase independent soul artists. I am so tuning into that.
Oh, you want to drop this guy a note and get to be a guest. You guys can do it. We can do a joint show with the soul artist.
Can I tell you how much I'll have in common with a soul guy from California? Not so much.
It'd be funny.
Oh, anywhere. It's a Clear Channel radio station, too, and they're the ones that let's just say I don't have the best relationship with Clear Channel right now.
Now, you when you were in radio, MySpace was it. That was the Facebook of the day.
Oh, my God. My MySpace page, and I was single. That's why I laugh about the MySpace thing, because I got a heck of a lot of dates off MySpace, and I didn't tell anybody about it. But I got to tell you this funny story about this guy. Oh, my God, he was so hot. This guy MySpaced me, and he was the cutest guy I've ever seen aside from my husband. I mean, this guy was ridiculously hot, and all his pictures were of him, like, playing soccer or playing golf and, like, skeet shooting, and he was so cute, and his name was Chip. I'll never forget, his name was Chip. And he would message me, and, like, I would, you know, hey, we're going to be at this place. You should come and join us, the radio station. And I would just say, come and meet me. But he would always be like, oh, I'm sorry, I ended up at this other place, and blah, 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 blah. So years go by. I never meet Chip. And we actually did a segment on, we called him the hottest guy on MySpace that may or may not exist. And so I would talk about him and read his messages online because he became this, like, almost this phantom Atlanta. I'm like, if a guy this hot lives in Atlanta, I would know about it. And I've never seen this guy. Nobody knew who he was, so whatever. Years go by, and I never find out who Chip is. Well, I am in Italy with Chad. I've just gotten engaged, and, you know, when you're in Italy, nobody speaks English, so you just watch the BBC, because that's the only television channel where there's English. And holy mother, there is Chip on the BBC television. And I'm like,
why?
Oh my God, honey. And, of course, I haven't told Chad about this. And I'm like, hey, that's that guy. Because I memorized this guy's face, every feature, everything about him. I mean, because he was that good looking. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, this is Chip. And
had
I
he just
Chad,
been
like,
arrested?
He was a freaking professional soccer player for the team in England. Somebody stole all his pictures and put him up on Facebook and was chatting with me for, like, 2 years. I was chatting with a British soccer player. Well, obviously, it was not a British soccer player. This guy bogarted all the photos of the hottest guy on the planet, and I felt really stupid. So that's when I deleted MySpace forever.
You got scammed. That's funny.
Totally. Oh, he was. I would dream about this guy. I would dream about Chip. And I just remember seeing him, and I was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Wait. Why is he on the BBC? Who the hell? That's why they had all those pictures of him playing soccer.
Let's take a break for Equestrian Collections Product of the Week. And then I have a new song for you from Jared Rogerson we haven't heard before on the show called Steppin' Down. Hi, Glenn, back with you from the Horse Radio Network. I'm here with Debbie with the Equestrian Collections Product of the Week.
I have the coolest new product I have seen in a while. It's from SSG Gloves, and it's the Grand Prix Cellmate Gloves. Clever, clever name, because these gloves have those little tips on your fingers, on the fingers, that you can actually use your cell phone while you're riding. I think that's a huge safety feature, especially for trail riders. If, you know, your cell phone's ringing and you've got to get your gloves off with your teeth and you drop your glove and you drop your cell, it's terrible.
We've all done
these
that, too.
These are perfect. You can just pull your cell out and you can use them without messing with your gloves. And they're pretty. They fit like a glove. They fit very well, nice, and they're not loose. They look like any other real riding glove, only they've got these cool little tips on the fingers. They're absolutely, I highly recommend them. I have bought one immediately when I saw them. In fact, I had said to my husband over the holidays, I said, somebody ought to come out with some riding gloves so I can use my cell phone when I'm in the saddle. And bingo, SSG must have heard me because they came out with these. They're now available. We've been waiting for them for a while. So order them quick because I think they're going to sell out fast.
And this I love the name too, Cellmate Gloves.
I know. Very, very clever.
And is this a summer glove, Debbie?
Well, they're kind of an all-season glove, but they're like suede-y feeling.
Okay.
They're not. They have the mesh on the fingers, but they're actually feel and look like suede, so that you can actually wear them, you know, and to show if you wanted to. They're hunter, jumper, event, dressage, anything, because they're black. And you can wear them with anything. I did not find them to be very hot because they do have some vents on the back, but they are suede, so they're actually leather-type gloves.
All right, terrific. And you can find them just by going to equestriancollections.com and typing in cell, C-E-L-L, mate, and that's the only thing that will come up.
It's not prison.
Equestriancollections.com.
Thank you, Glenn.
Thank you.
hung it up when I went to school. Now I got this job, I wear this frown. So tonight I'm stepping down. Listen up, boy, try to understand. I'll draw you a picture to make it make sense. There's the dirt, here's the clown. Tonight I'm stepping down. I'm stepping down to ride a bull tonight at the rodeo. And I'll slide down on his back. You to know tonight I'm stepping down. Me and my girlfriend, we had a fight. There's this other guy, guess I was right. Been there before, I see the door. Tonight I'm stepping down. I'm stepping down to ride. You gotta step back down. About 4 seconds, the score is zero. Out of a job, but I'm a hero. I got my pride and a new girlfriend. So tonight I'm stepping down. I'm stepping down to ride a bull tonight at the rodeo. And I'll slide down on his back, and away we go. Spinning round and round, we'll be the highlight of the show. I gotta go, ride another bull. Tonight I'm stepping down.
I love every song by him. I love his voice. I love his guitar. It's just great. That's Stepping Down, Jared Rodgerson. You can hear him at jaredrodgerson.com. Man, if that doesn't make you want to just, well, maybe not make you, Glenn, want to get up and kind of boot scoot. It sure did me. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network.
I'm sorry. He was a bronc rider and a bull rider, too, I think, at times. So.
I know he's like perfect, so whatever. And he's like all married and stuff. So, sorry, girls. They're cute too, all of it.
I'm trying to find while we're talking here. Go ahead and say who we are. While I'm looking here.
I'm Jamie Jennings. You're listening to Glenn the Geek. Our chat room is quite active over there, and I keep trying to get Glenn, our listener, says he's on 51 groups in LinkedIn, and I keep trying to get him to admit whether he's gotten a date on LinkedIn or not, and he won't say. He's been strangely quiet since I asked that question. But hey to Nancy and Tamiko and Dawn and Glenn and the three or four other people that are in there, we really appreciate y'all joining us on the chat room. You can find it. Where can they find the chat room, Glenn? I don't even know.
You just go to blogtalkradio.com, you click on Horses in the Morning, and it's on that page.
Okay, there you go. What are you looking for?
I'm trying to find, I just can't, my computer is totally not cooperating at this point. I'm trying to get that sound file from my Fox Phoenix up.
Oh, you gotta say that.
I do, because, oh my God, you live in an interesting place here, Jamie.
You want me to tell the story while you're looking for the sound?
No, hold on one second. I'm just going to try it.
Makes me so proud to be in this godforsaken desert.
Let me see if I
can
do it a different way. Hold on. I'm just trying to do it a different way here, because, like usual, technology is not cooperating. Ah, here we go. Let me see if this will work.
Uh-oh, Glenn might have a date. He says a certain horsewoman says she wants to meet next year at an event.
A horse running wild on a busy loop on a farm, even using the crosswalk to get to the other side,
there
and forcing drivers to slow down, even hit the brakes as it darted in front of them.
I was like, that's not a dog. It's not a coyote. Oh, my God. It's a horse.
The runaway horse kept police officers and other crews busy for hours. All of the horseplay unfolding alongside the freeway.
Of course, he's going to dictate where he goes.
Officers chased it on horseback. Wranglers tried to lasso it.
When they bring him, we're going to want to go just right out here and form a little wing.
They even tried chasing it with a truck. Even Sky Fox got into the act, trying to help steer the horse into the direction of Wranglers. But every time, the horse was able to get away and elude capture.
If you just let him settle a bit, he'll be able to get you.
No, not today. This horse was never caught. Soleil Dolce from the Arizona Equine Rescue Organization joins us tonight. And Soleil, the first question, do you know where this horse is tonight?
This horse is in a state land area that's north of the 101 near Scottsdale Road.
Soleil, was this a wild horse in the end? We've been thinking it's domesticated the whole time, but now we're hearing differently.
Yeah, you know, we're not entirely sure where this horse came from or whether it's domestic or wild. The way that it was behaving would indicate that it was a wild horse.
Why did this turn into trying to capture Godzilla in a bad sci-fi movie? I mean, this went on for hours.
And, you know, believe it or not, this is one of our shorter wild horse scenarios.
Oh, no, I don't even want to hear that.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, unfortunately, normally we try to leave them where they're at and we try to keep them, you know, in areas where they're going to be safe. They're very savvy to traffic. They're savvy to getting food and water. In this particular scenario, he was in a very dangerous area to people.
Why not a tranquilizer gun and just put it down so you can figure out what's going on?
Yeah, you know, the challenge with a tranquilizer gun is that horses generally blow through that tranq. And we talked to a veterinarian, we talked to people that use tranq guns on Mustangs, and they all agreed it was a long shot.
Now, you realize that you set back Arizona's image 20 or 30 years today. They are running this video,
you know,
in New York, and it's playing into the, oh, there's Phoenix, the cow town, with the cactus going by over and over like the cartoon, and the horses running wild. That's what's going to play across the United States.
It's unfortunate. I think very few people understand how hard it is to catch a wild Mustang, and this is really what I think we were dealing with because of the way this animal was behaving. We had some of the best ropers out there. We had a really terrific team of volunteers, and this guy wasn't going to get caught. He was smart. So,
well,
you know, we did our best.
I know you did. It was theater. It was highly entertaining, I've got to tell you.
It was entertaining for us, too.
Soleil Dolce from the Arizona Equine Rescue Organization.
That was from MyFoxPhoenix.com. Jamie, you must be so proud of where you live. They couldn't catch the frickin' horse because they were chasing it with a helicopter.
Oh, my gosh. This is, like, remnant. It reminds me of, you know, the wild roundups they do with the Mustangs, with the helicopter, although this was a news chopper that was, like, trying to help. This was a huge story yesterday. Oh, my gosh. So for those who you couldn't see the video, we should post this link on our Facebook page, because this kind of actually makes me proud to live in Phoenix, is that wild horses kind of run around. And this was an amazing horse who actually was kept crossing the street, and he would use the crosswalks. Like, he never looked frightened. He never looked scared. He was like, dude, I'm out of here. This is just not going to happen. And I love the fact that this is, okay, say you're a team roper, or you're just, you know, you rope steers and you compete. This is your dream. this is your moment to shine, cowboy. Get on your horse and chase down. And they've got video of these, you know, cowboys with their one hand on the rein and they're swinging the lasso over the head, and nobody could get it.
Well, let me give you an idea of the time frame, too. This started at like 9 o'clock in the morning and went till dark.
Yeah, this is amazing. What an awesome horse.
Find that horse and make it an endurance horse. That's what we need to do.
Seriously. Screw using Arabs for endurance. They should be rounding up Mustangs to do this sport. I mean, these suckers can go and go and go. This is
congratulations,
awesome.
Jamie. Once
Thank
again,
you
must be so proud.
So yeah. Proud. And the fact that it does set us back, you know, like 20, 30, 40, 50 years, whatever the guy said. Because, seriously, the video, it's like you can't take video of a worse-looking place. Everything is brown. Everything is – all the animals that are here, snakes and scorpions and all the rattlesnakes, all the animals try to kill you, and all the plants will make you bleed. You go to pick a weed out of your yard and it makes you bleed. Like, everything here says go away.
Can I just mention about your policemen too, that they all tend to be well fed. The ones who were chasing this horse were all very well fed, and
yeah,
I love the scene.
Okay.
I love the scene where one of them, he's parked like in the middle of this desert place, and his police car is there, and this is very quick in the video. I have to go back and watch it again. But it looks like he's throwing a frisbee or something at the horse. There's this white thing that goes flying by the scene of the horse. What was that?
That was the funniest part of the video. The horse gallops by him, and the only thing he can think to do is take off his cowboy hat and throw it at him.
Oh,
that's what he did. He took off his freaking cowboy hat and threw it at the horses that ran by, and they got that on video. Please tell me that everybody in his unit is totally making fun of him today. Hey, man, you're on national TV throwing your cowboy hat at a loose horse. It's awesome.
And for all the animal, for all the tree huggers out there, horse one, human zero.
Woo-hoo!
Horse one.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of endurance, there's a 63-year-old woman by the name of Megan Lewis from England that did quite a feat. She swore that after the 2008 closing ceremony from Beijing, that she was going to ride a horse from Beijing to the opening ceremonies in London. Now, that's Beijing, China, to the opening ceremonies 8,000 miles away. She started back then, and she is now crossed the English Channel and is on the final leg of her journey. She said there's been many up and downs along the way. She hasn't really had any fanfare. She's been just doing this on her own. She's not really a celebrity. She just said she wanted to ride from the one Olympics to the other, and she has done that, and she is home now, apparently, and she's planning her final leg, which she'll do in the last couple days before the Olympics starts. But 8,000 miles across a very rough country, through some very unfriendly countries, I might add. So she's had quite a journey, and I'm sure we'll be seeing a book or something coming out about that coming up.
Wow, that's absolutely nuts. You got to be nuts to do that. Hey, we heard Frankel win the race today, going for 11-0.
We didn't hear that.
I mean, Glenn told us about the fact that Frankel won a race today and at the Royal Ascot. And Black Caviar has traveled from Australia to England, and she's going to run. She's unbeaten in 21 starts, so she's going for 22-0. And the handlers of Black Caviar say everything has gone to plan in the lead-up to the race. And she has traveled to England just fine, has been eating and sleeping normally, and she's doing great. This is actually her first international race. And if you remember the trainer, Peter Moody is like, I'm confused now. He is the one who's like, Peter Moody, we have to come over here and run in this stupid race against these horses just to prove that she's the best, and she is the best. Like, all these loser horses out here. I mean, he is hardcore. So he's going to put his money where his mouth is.
All I got to say is that horse better damn well win this race.
Oh, my God. He has been bagging on the European horses like nobody's business. So, but anyway, she looks good. There's a picture of her galloping. I'll go ahead and post that on our Facebook page as well, because she looks she looks really good. She's just amazing. Go Black Caviar.
Well, the next story is for our friend Glenn, who's in the chat room. I know he's into tractors and things. In Nebraska, they're doing a tractor parade across Nebraska. You can. What they're doing is they're actually going to do like a relay where you can get your antique tractor out. It was from June the 2nd through the 10th, and they covered the entire state of Nebraska. 190 different tractors. There were 20 to 50 tractors going down the road at any given time. Now, these were all antiques, old farm halls and stuff. And they went across the entire state of Nebraska. They said it was to honor the people who, what was it? Now I'm trying to remember why they did it. I had that in my head, and now it's gone.
Who cares?
Oh, the Pony Express. They were trying to honor the Pony Express riders who used to ride across the West, and the only way they could think to do it was with tractors. So there you go. So there's a tractor story for Glenn today.
That's great. I'm trying to find another one of the news stories, but we pretty much covered all the racing stories that I wanted to cover. Royal Delta won another race this past weekend, so we're a little bit behind.
You want to hear a very nice story. Let's end with a nice story today. And it's about Steve Wozniak. They call him the Woz. He was co-founder of Apple. And he is really into animals. Apparently, he's really into animals and rescuing animals. Well,
He was also on Dancing with the Stars. So, you know.
Oh, there you go. Okay. Yeah, well, that's the most important part of this whole story, apparently. There's this New York rescue farm that rescues horses, and it's called Peaceful Acres Horses. And they put out a notice on Twitter that they needed some money to rescue a Belgian crossbred horse. And guess who responded? Steve Wozniak actually sent them money to cover the rescue for this horse. So they named the horse Woz. And they invited Steve Wozniak to come out to the farm and visit the horse. Well, I'll be damned last week if he didn't. He went out to their farm in New York, and this is just a little rescue farm called Peaceful Acres. And he went out there, and he spent about an hour, and he visited all the horses and visited with the people. And, you know, that's kind of cool. You know, you don't expect that when you're putting out a plea when you have this little rescue farm. You don't expect Steve Wozniak to show up. So congratulations to everybody there. What a cool story.
but this is where we're going to end here. Victoria Spicer, who we had on just moments ago, just posted on Facebook. It says,
"Oh no,
Frankel, the only reliable male on the planet." Love it. Well said, my friend.
I don't think I can say anything else but this.